please have your seats. Please have your seats. You guys are absolutely amazing. You got me back there? Yeah, we're good. All right. We just had to turn the volume up a little bit. I'm going to ask you to hold that. Thank you guys so much for your generosity. As one of our elders and founding members said, it's not about the gifts, it's about the love. And I appreciate your love poured out towards me. And it's gifts are a demonstration, but really the fact that you're still here, that you love Jesus, that's enough for me. And I'm really glad to be able to worship the Lord alongside you guys. Thank you for being amazing. And thank you for bringing more and more amazing people to this great church to be a part of it too. And I believe that God's going to bless you this year. And as he's increasing and challenging me, I think you're going to find some increase and some challenge for yourself this year. So praise God for a great year of growth. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm supposed to let the kids go, and so the teachers are going to move very quickly because we had an extended time of worship. And I don't have too much time left on the clock unless I choose to go overtime, which we may or may not do. And so we're going to just release those kids. Lord Jesus, help them as they go. Thank you so much. I'm going to take those off because otherwise I'll eat them while I preach, and you don't want to hear smacking like that as we preach. So they're going to be rehearsing some stuff. We're going to have a great time next week, Sunday, as we prepare for our Christmas celebration and everything. We are just going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I just encourage you that if you've got someone in your life that that needs Jesus, somebody maybe that doesn't attend church on a Sunday, would you please just invite them to come? It's a great open door. It's a great opportunity. If people are not usually open to the gospel or to coming to church on a normal Sunday, a lot of times they are right around Christmas time. Yep. And I would just say the Bible says devise to do good. So would you just devise, invite them like today. You know, don't wait until Saturday night and be like, I know it's last minute, but would you like to come to church with me next week, Sunday or tomorrow? Please give them as much notice as you can. Invite them to come. It's a non-threatening environment. We're just going to worship God, and we're going to have a great time. The kids will be doing a little bit of something so that we can make sure that people get videos and everything, because God knows you don't have enough photos and videos on your mobile devices. Pretty soon, you're just going to have to buy a whole hard drive just to store your photos and videos, right?
Yeah.
For us, growing up, you know, we had to wait until we could actually develop the film before you could know what the picture looked like. And mostly, all the pictures on the roll were bad, except maybe just one, and we get fortunate. But now we can just edit it, make you look good. You can put filters on, glasses, little fawn ears or whatever, and make yourself look however you want to. But we're going to have the kids perform and everything, and we'll have a great time in God's presence this coming Sunday. So please invite somebody to come. It won't hurt you. They'll probably say yes. So just invite them to come. They'll definitely be loved and cared for. Well, I don't have very much time, so I'm going to get right into the preaching of the word. As we head towards getting into our Connect groups that are going to be starting the second week of January, in fact, next week, Sunday, we're going to have Sign Up Sunday. Sign Up Sunday is all about you choosing a group that you're going to be a part of, at least that you're going to try out for a few weeks to see if that's a good fit for you. We want you to find good connections. We want to make sure that you are prayed for. We want to make sure that you are loved and that you also get some of the word. The most important thing that we're looking to do in these Connect groups is get you connected to Jesus and get you connected to other people. As you do that, you're going to have your felt needs met. You'll know that people are praying for you because you're going to pray together when you're at your Connect groups. And so we want to preach to you unashamedly about how important it is for you to be connected. This is the second part of the series on connections. And if you did not listen to the last message, if you weren't here last Sunday or something, I want to encourage you, go to our website, go to our app, go to our Facebook page, whatever you need to do, but get it in you. Why? Because just because you weren't here doesn't mean that the Word of God wasn't here. And so that means that what you should do is you should hear what God is saying to your church. And it's important that you hear that, because otherwise you're going to have some missing blanks that you need to fill in. And if you want notes and stuff for the sermons, you can find that on our website, or you can go right to the Welcome Center and grab those even in the middle of my message. I won't be offended at all. If you want a title for your message, this is Connections Part 2, and the title of the message is Solitary. Solitary. I want to talk to you for just a few moments, and I really only have a few moments. I'm going to see how far I can get. I may choose to release you right at 12 noon if you want to go and just continue on, because I think it's important that we get as much of this in us as we can. But I want to talk to you very quickly about the plot that is against you. There is a plot against you. If you didn't know this, you ought to know this. How many of you would like to know if there was someone plotting against you? Someone plotting your demise? It would be important to know that, because then you can at least defend yourself. If you didn't know that someone's trying to get you, you're not going to be on guard. You got to be in condition orange, right? And so I want to point you to some scriptures that show you that there is a plot that is absolutely against you. And that plot does not end at the point where you get saved. It continues on. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, I'm reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. The scriptures are right up here on the screen. It says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, just because we live in the United States, just because we live in a Western culture, just because we live in a society like this, doesn't mean that other people in the world are not experiencing the same attack that we are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic class, your demographic. It does not matter. The assignment of the devil against your life is exactly the same. Yep. Your adversary, the devil, looks for those who he can devour. I think it'll be interesting for you to look up that word adversary if you have a chance. What you'll find out, it's actually a term of lawyering. It's your accusing attorney is what that word is really talking about. But when you think about it, that's really all the power that the devil has, is to legalize things against you, to get into the court of heaven and try to bring up accusations against you. And if you don't know just how clean you've been washed, you will take the blame for the things that you've already been pardoned for. And so I want to tell you that the devil cannot devour certain people. Right? The Bible says he seeks those whom he may devour. Yep. Some you may not devour. And so I hope that you decide to be one of those people that the devil may not devour. Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. In the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this: now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Listen, lest Satan should take advantage of us. You see, he's trying to get the advantage over you, right? Satan should take advantage of us, for listen, we are not ignorant of his devices. But you know what? There are some people that are ignorant of his devices. It sometimes they just don't realize that there is a device that's being used against them. They don't realize that there's a device out there. I remember the first time that I realized that there was a device called the speed sensing radar thing that police have. I remember that because it was on a Thanksgiving morning, and I was driving a Honda CRX manual transmission, because I know how to drive those. And I remember that for some reason I was late to where I was going, and I was going 70 in a 45. I was younger then. And I was going 70 in a 45, and I found out that there are devices to catch you when you are going 70 in a 45. That was an expensive lesson that I learned. The police officer that day said, "Young man, why are you in such a hurry?" I said, "Oh, I'm late where I'm going." He said, "Now, is my stopping you helping you to get there quicker? I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Maybe you might want to just take your time and you'll get there on time next time." And I remember that. It stood with me. And yet we have to understand that there are devices that are set up against us. Sometimes the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that it doesn't do any good if a bird sees the fowler setting out a snare, because it knows that it's there. Yeah. That's why we have to know that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, it says this in the New King James Version of the Bible. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me pause right quick. Right there. The whole armor of God. Why would you need to put on armor? Who puts on armor to go to sleep? Armor is not necessarily a comfortable thing. It is to protect you in what? In battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, listen to this, the wiles of the devil. His scheme, his devices, his ways of doing things, are in such a way where they are an assignment and they are an attack against you. That's why you must put on the whole armor of God. Some people don't even know what the armor is. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Listen, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's not just a flesh and blood thing. It's not your spouse. It's not your children. It's not your boss. It's not your job. It's none of those things that are against you. It is spiritual wickedness in high places, the things that you cannot see. Can there be an assignment against you that you don't see? Absolutely. It's called chemical warfare. And you don't see it coming, but it'll kill you. You see, we've got to be sober, vigilant, not ignorant to the fact that we are absolutely under attack. The whole armor of God. I want to tell you this, if you're following along with your notes, we cannot allow ourselves to get isolated. We cannot allow ourselves to get isolated. Isolation is a design, it is a device, it is a scheme of the enemy so that he may devour you. Whenever you see National Geographic, BBC, whatever nature photos of lions eating zebras like this, you notice that there are no other zebras around. What the lions have done is they have picked that zebra right out of the herd and isolated them so that they are able to be attacked. In fact, one of the defensive strategies of the zebra, if you didn't know this, was that one of the reasons why their stripes work so well is that when an entire herd of them is running and they're running at different speeds, all of the lines begin to blur together and you can't tell which is which one and you can't pick one out. It just looks like a big blur of black and white. But when you get them isolated, you can absolutely tell, oh, that's not a tree. So the lion is always trying to isolate the zebra. Remember, your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. If you have been isolated in your Christianity, if you've been isolated in your personal life, I bet that you have been under attack. Oh, yeah. And I don't even have to be a prophet to tell you that. Yeah. You've been under attack. Why have you been under attack? Because your enemy, the devil, is trying to devour you. And he wants to devour you by getting you isolated. You have to fight, stand against, withstand. Don't go with him. Resist him in your life. Can you say amen to that? Isolation is the plan and the strategy that the devil has against you to make you a soft target. A soft target. Now, you're familiar with some hard targets that are out there in the world, like a tortoise is probably a hard target, hard to get your mouth around, hard to bite down on, hard to be eaten, hard to be pried open. There are other hard targets that are out there, things that herd, things that get into a group, they stay in a group. You know, a while back, I talked about oxen and how what they like to do is they put the babies in the middle and they put all the horns on the outside. They become a hard target because they realize that something is trying to devour them and they don't allow that to take place. Isolation is a strategy of the devil against you to try to make you a soft target, easy pickings. You know, even elephants, even giraffes, even hippopotami, all of those things, I mean, they get picked on by the lions if they find themselves isolated and alone. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says this, listen, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Well, we know that. Two heads are better than one, yes. Two hearts are better than one. Two people are better than one. Two fighting Christians are better than one. Two are better than one. Listen, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. See, if you've been walking alone and you've been under attack, you've probably fallen. And when you've fallen and there's no one there to help you, guess what? You have to decide on your own whether or not you're going to get up. The righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. But you know what? If there's no one there saying, get up. There's no one there saying, here, take my hand, I'll lift you up. See, I recognize this because when we do workouts and stuff, one of the easiest movements in the world is called a burpee. Now a burpee, all a burpee is, you get down onto the ground and you get back up again. That's all you do. It's not hard to do until you try to do it really fast 100 times. But you know, by number 70 or so, you're thinking, do I really want to get up again? Because my lungs are burning. My muscles are burning. Then I'm going to have to go back down and get back up again. I should just quit right here. But when you've got someone yelling in your ear, get up. Get up. Come on, man, get up. Just one more. Just one more. See, that's why you need to be walking with other people. Because when you fall, you don't want to get up, but someone's going to yell at you, now get up. Just get up. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. There's no one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know what this means? When you're isolated, the devil might just get the mastery over you. He just might beat you up. But when somebody comes alongside you to help, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000s. That's with an S on the end. 10,000s. That's exponentially greater of a force that you have just by merely having someone else with you. Why are you still alone? Don't get isolated. Get around other people. Get around other people. And by the way, can I just throw this out here? That when you got married, two became one. So if you and your spouse are the only ones hanging out, you're still isolated. It's true. You got to get around other people. I'm not saying you got to invite anyone else into your marriage. I'm just saying that you have to get around some other people, socialize a little bit. People that don't socialize get weird.
Amen.
Seriously. Look, this is a really similar lesson to what we learned about in the Sequoia Redwoods, right? If that tree tried to stand alone with its root system and everything, it would just be torn up. It would be blown over. It would be burnt up and everything. However, with the other trees around it, it is connected. See, having deep connections causes us to be resilient to attacks of the enemy. Causes us to be resilient to the attacks of the enemy. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling that way in your Christianity, you're probably alone. You got to get around some other people. It is very hard to stand alone. It sure is easy to fall, but it's not easy to stand alone. You know, just an interesting thought. That do you remember that Jesus was alone when he was tempted? Jesus. I mean, we're talking about the Son of God, the one who had no sin nature, the one who was perfect in all his ways, that he was perfect, spotless, blameless. There was nothing in him. The Bible says that the devil had nothing in him. And yet he was tempted of the devil. You know when he was tempted of the devil? That was the only time virtually that he was alone. You never, as far as I've read in the Bible, I've never read another moment in the Bible where he was tempted. The only time was when he was alone. Isn't it interesting? How when we get alone, sometimes we can be tempted. We can get tempted by what comes through the computer screen. We can get tempted by what comes through the television. We can get tempted by a phone call that comes, a text message that comes. But when there's somebody else saying, where are you going? What you watching? What you doing? See, when you got that little check and balance, that little bit of accountability, boy, does it help you to resist temptation. We have to resist temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Maybe he was just not alone very much. Again, the only time I've ever read in the Bible where Jesus was ever tempted was when he was alone. I think it's important that we have connections. I think it's important that we rely on other people to help us to stay standing. Hey, look, it's 12:01. If you need to go, I want to totally release you to be able to go. But I'm going to finish what I've got for this message because I think it is really important. I won't hold anything against you. I'll love you as you go. You can watch or listen to the rest later if you really got to go. I want to talk to you about one of the ways that we get very isolated. It's called offense. I want to talk to you for a little bit about offense and isolation. Just a little warning, you might get offended as I'm talking to you about being offended. And you know what? Just realize that that's the attack of the devil. I'm not trying to offend you. If I wanted to offend you, I would just come up to you and tell you that you're ugly or something, you know? But I'm not trying to offend you. But sometimes there can be things that we get offended by. Did you know that the Bible calls Jesus the rock of offense? He didn't come except to offend us by his lifestyle. He offended all of the top religious leaders of the day. Sometimes when we get offended by Jesus, it's just because we're religious. We're not actually full of Jesus. You know, one of the major reasons for becoming offended or becoming isolated is offense. Offense is one of the top strategies the devil will use against you. Don't be ignorant about that strategy. It's not just that it happens, it's simply that it's a strategy, it's a device, it's a wile of the devil to get you isolated. When you get offended, you run away. I don't want to be around you anymore. I'm going to unfriend you. That's why so many people unfriend other people, because they get offended by what's being posted. Hey, just keep on scrolling, baby. Keep on scrolling. Just keep going. Don't get offended. Just move on. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. This is a powerful scripture. It says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
But I thought there's nothing that's impossible to them that believe. It is impossible. If Jesus says it's impossible, it's impossible.
Yep.
It is impossible that no offenses should come. I want you to highlight that word offenses. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. It is impossible that no offenses will come. Guess what? If you want to be unoffended, die right now. I promise you, that's the only time that offenses will stop, is when you are no longer breathing air. It is no other time on this earth when you are alive where offense will not come. Don't worry, if you are currently not in a state of offense or having offense come your way, it's on its way. You're just between offenses right now. That's all it is. But it's coming, so get ready for it. The matter is about what you do with it when it comes. But listen, it's impossible that no offenses will come. So if it's going to come, you better know how to handle it, right? But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Okay, that is a huge key right there. Take care, take heed to yourself. You know, if we kept getting our eyes off of other people, offense would cut in half, guaranteed. At least in half. Why? Because then you're not looking at the other person. If we just look at ourselves, then we'll be doing a lot better in the offense category. It's not about them. It's about you. And it's about me. It's about that stuff. So take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. By the way, that word forgive means to take it and put it behind your back. It means that you're not going to bring it up anymore. Now, if it keeps recurring, you still got to forgive. But it's important that we forgive. If someone repents, forgive. Otherwise, if we don't forgive, then offense comes. And not only that, but then God's not able to forgive us. We'll talk about that another time. Forgive him. Verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and in 7 times he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, I love this, increase our faith. They knew that they could not do that. 7 times in one day. Actually, another passage says 7 times 70 times. That's 490 times in one day for the same thing. And then they're like, I'm so sorry. I repent. Please forgive me. You shall forgive them. Wow. Increase my faith, God. And I'm not just quoting this. I'm saying increase my faith. Offense, it's gonna happen. Just take it to the bank. It is going to happen. The word offense is the Greek word scandalon. Scandalon. What does that sound like to you? Scandal. Scandalous. Oh, so scandalous. The Bible is a scandalous thing. Offenses shall come. Scandals will come. You know that word scandalon? It's actually the real definition of that word is the word trapstick. Trapstick. It's interesting. You remember those old cartoons and stuff? Some of you have never seen an old cartoon, but you should. Where someone's trying to catch a bird, and so they put a box and they prop it up with the stick. They got the string that they run out, right? They put some bait down underneath here, and they wait for the bird to come in and eat that yummy food, and then they pull the trap stick out from the box, and the bird gets trapped. Guess what? You the bird. That's you. The bait is a fence. Trap stick is the thing that when we grab a hold on, see, sometimes if you just left that trap stick alone and leave it where it's at, you can walk in, nom 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 nom, and then walk right back out. You're good. But when you pull the trap stick, you get trapped. And sometimes people pull their own trap stick. I'm gonna take offense. Hear it? I'm gonna take offense to that. I am offended by that. You know that you can leave that trap stick right where it's at?
Right.
You don't have to take the trap stick. You don't have to pull it. You don't have to get involved with the scandal. You don't have to grab onto it. Just walk right back out. Yeah. You could have even eaten whatever was in that thing, but you just walk out scot-free because you didn't pull the trap stick. I think this is so important that we need to learn to not take offense.
Yeah.
We should not take offense. The most important thing that we need to know is that offenses are going to come, but it's important how we handle those offenses. We can grab them, hold them, and milk it for all it's worth, or we can take that offense and we can leave it right there. My coaches in high school, whenever we would go into the gym, sometimes people would just be having a bad day, and the coaches would always say, whatever issues you have between each other, whatever went on that day, whatever, leave it at the door. And you know what? Amazingly enough, we were able to leave it at the door.
Yeah.
Some people might have wanted to scrap one another before they walked into the building, but they left it at the door. You can pick it back up if you want to later on, but usually you just don't pick it back up again. I would encourage you that you can leave offense wherever it's
at.
You don't have to take a hold of it. And if you're holding on to offense, drop it. Drop it. There's an old song that goes, if you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Just keep on going. Just pass it by. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Some people choose, when they get offended, they choose to withdraw and isolate. Gotcha. See, I got offended, so I'm just going to back up. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to isolate myself. That way I can't ever be offended again. If we simply aren't around people we think, then what happens is that we won't have to deal with being offended. No, that's just not the way that it works. It is impossible that offenses will not come. You'll get something in your email. You'll get something in your inbox. You'll get something on Facebook. You'll get something on Instagram. You will get somebody whispering in your ear. I mean, I don't care how it comes. It will come. It is impossible that it will not come. So you might as well just be around people. If we never let people get close enough to hurt us, we'll never be hurt.
Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong. That is an absolute lie. We think that it's true, but it's not true. You can still be hurt even when people aren't around.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't think that that's true, try getting older and getting out of bed. You didn't even do anything to warrant getting hurt. You just turned over and it's like, oh, Jesus. Step off the curb wrong and you hurt yourself, you know? It's important that we realize that offenses are gonna come. Listen, can I give you an alternative to withdrawing and isolating? How about this? How about getting healed? What if every time that you got offended, every time that you got hurt, every time that somebody did something nasty against you, you just got healed like Wolverine? Some of you are staring at me like you don't know who Wolverine is. Come on, I know that you know the X-Men. What if you just got healed? Let me ask you this, is that impossible? Jesus never said that's impossible. But here's the problem. It takes actual forgiveness and it takes actual faith for God's healing power to come in. Actual forgiveness, not the, oh, sorry, yeah. That's probably not real forgiveness. Especially if you find yourself talking about the same thing over and over and over and over again at every family party and everybody that you have the opportunity to talk about it with, you're talking about it with, you haven't forgiven yet. It's not actual. It takes actual faith to get healed. Because then we have to leave our trust in Jesus. It's not about the other person making it better. It's about Jesus healing our heart. So what were those disciples talking about? I promise you I'm almost done. What were the disciples talking about when they said, increase our faith? Why do we need to have faith? What do you need to have faith for? I mean, if you're going to have your faith increased, what is this faith for? Let me give you a few scriptures. First of all, understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. That's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Listen, you have to have faith for this. You have to have faith that vengeance belongs to God, and He will repay. Not vengeance belongs to the Lord, I will repay. He's going to use me in the fivefold ministry with the laying on of hands. No, it's not about that. It's about God will repay. You either believe and trust and have faith that God's got you or you don't. That's just the way that it is. We've got to have faith that God will repay. You can find that in Romans 12, 19. You've got to have faith that God's working on both of us. The one that offered the offense and the one that took the offense. See, it's not just their problem. If I got offended, that's my problem. Because I didn't have to take offense. It was just a little too juicy for me to grab a hold of that trap stick and take it. That means that God's still working on me. You know, the Bible says that God is going to work on us until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And you've got to have faith that even that person that's sitting next to you, sitting across from you, doing nasty things to you, whatever, you've got to believe that God began a good work in them, God will complete it. And they're just not there yet. How many of you would like grace in your faults? You know how you get grace in your faults? You give grace in other people's faults. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You give grace and you receive grace. Whatever you sow, that is what you are going to reap. You've got to have faith that God will heal your hurting heart and take your heart of stone when you got hard, when you got mad, when you got upset, and you let your heart turn to stone. It's just like, it doesn't matter anyway. Just write you off. I don't need you in my life. No, you do need them in your life. You do. We talked about that last week. You need them. They need you and you need them. It is a symbiotic relationship of growth and maintenance in your life. You need them. God, you got to have faith that God will heal your hurting heart and He'll turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. If we don't have faith for that, we won't even believe for that. We'll just be hard. We'll just be hurt. We'll just be broken. But we've got to have faith. Lord, increase my faith. I'm almost done. Expectation, my friend, is the breeding ground of offense. When we expect to be treated well, How many of you expect to be treated well? Now tell me the truth. I think probably most of you aren't thinking clearly. How many of you expect to be treated well? I mean, come on. You expect that your food won't get spit in at the restaurant? Anybody like that? Anybody expect that someone will use that crazy thing on the side of their steering wheel to indicate that they're going to switch lanes? See, expectation is a breeding ground of offense, because when they don't use the thing and their blinker fluid is empty, and they just, boom, cut right on over and then slam on their brakes, Lord Jesus, offense comes. All of a sudden, the saved guy goes right out the window. He took off his seatbelt, and here comes the old man. You see, expectation is the breeding ground of offense. Spouses, you don't have any right to demand that your spouse treat you right. Should they? Yeah, because God says so. But having that expectation, when they don't meet that expectation, guess what? Offense comes. It's easy to get offended. Am I right?
Yeah.
Expectation is the breeding ground for offense. Expectations about how we're treated, expectations how our ideas ought to be accepted. You know, if someone challenges our thoughts, our ideas, or actions, it can absolutely be a source of offense.
Yeah.
The Bible says it this way, we all think that we're right.
Yeah.
Sometimes we even think that we're more right than God.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. You know why? You know how I know that? Because some people say, if I were God, I would. Well, that's why you're not God, because you jack it up. But God is right all the time. Can we settle that in this house?
Amen.
However we feel, God's right. He's right. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Can I just say this? Every man includes this man. Every man includes...
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
It includes us all. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. That means that even when my feelings and my thoughts and my opinions come into conflict with God, let me be a liar and let God be true. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Go back to that word about the devil being an accuser of the brethren or being your adversary when you are judged. See, he's the prosecuting attorney in that case. You want to know who you're fighting. Proverbs 27:17, and this is my last scripture, says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Do you know that you cannot sharpen yourself? Can't do it. You need someone else. You need something else.
Yeah.
A knife cannot sharpen itself without something to abrade upon. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We need, say this with me,
I need
other people.
Other people.
You need other people. You need other people. Let me give you one thing. One thing. Hope you got something out of that.
Amen.
And hopefully what you did not get out of that was a trap stick. Hopefully you didn't get offended in what was being talked about in offense. Just one thing. I want to ask you this week to fight isolationism. Fight isolationism. How do you fight it? You fight it with connection. You fight it with grace. You fight it with forgiveness. That's how we fight isolationism. We fight it with connection. I want to just say this. Let's believe and change for the better. Together. Not alone, but together. Don't let the devil get you isolated. You're going to be the zebra that's for dinner if you do. I want to encourage you, stay connected. Get connected. If you've been disconnected, find connection. Be a part of a connect group as we come up to that. Even before that, don't wait for the church to create an atmosphere of connection for you. Go get connected. Get connected. Get connected. And don't be isolated. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you've allowed me to go a little bit longer today for all the people that had a little bit of extra time that they could stay. Father, I pray that this word would just get into our hearts, that it would take root and that it would bear fruit. God, I thank you for people that are not going to be isolated, but that they're going to be connected. I thank you, Jesus, that as they get connected, that they'll be stronger together, that two are better than one, that they won't stay down, but that they'll get back up again. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace and the wisdom to leave the trap stick alone, so that when offense comes, because it's going to come, God, I pray that we would leave that offense right where it's at and just walk out scot-free. Father, I thank you for your people. I speak a blessing over them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you've got a few minutes to connect after this, you can absolutely do that. You don't even have to watch the screen. We love you. Be blessed. Have an amazing Sunday. And connect with some people, if you want to, over some food at the back. Be blessed, you guys.
All right.